Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm John Michelson. We are talking innovation with top leaders and thinkers in energy and sustainability, and those who are transforming our world. You benefit from my extensive network of C-level executives, entrepreneurs, artists, authors, government leaders, and journalists, and my many years in the media and Fortune 500 companies. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com, iTunes, iHeartRadio, where we come to you from today, TuneIn, Stitcher, and wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts. You can also join our private Facebook group, which is linked from our website, greenconnectionsradio.com. Every businesswoman wants to accelerate growth of her company or her organization or her department, and frankly, of her life, especially if you're an entrepreneur, of course. But I think, frankly, we are all CEOs of our own lives. But how do we do it? How do we make sense of the cacophony, of the noise, of the options we have today? What tools do we use? Do we use Facebook, LinkedIn? Do we ignore social media? Do we just focus on networking? Do we rely on other people? Do we to do it for us? I mean, what are the answers? What are the questions? And more importantly, what are the best choices for your business? So I thought I would bring in someone who has been one of the best coaches, in fact, even to me. Katie Kremitzos is founder and CEO of Biz Women Rock, which is a name that I absolutely adore. She provides corporate strategy, particularly around marketing and expanding your reach, with a focus, of course, on women entrepreneurs. She has a podcast, a Facebook group, and does public speaking as well as being in the media. You can find her on a variety of places, including, I believe it's bizwomenrock.com. By the way, she is full of energy, so you will absolutely love Katie. So without further ado, welcome to Green Connections Radio, Katie.
What's going on, girl? How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. You're welcome. You're welcome. I just so enjoy talking to you. It's really fun. So when someone asks you what you do, what exactly do you say?
I tell them that I am someone who gets to help businesswomen grow their companies and really live into the business of their dreams. And ultimately, that really means the life of their dreams. And so I do that mainly by being a community builder and by providing education and strategy and coaching services for the entrepreneurial women who really want to take control and do some major, major big things in this world for their businesses and for their lives.
Cool. I love that. And you are definitely a community builder. I mean, par excellence. Katie, just so you know, is one of the most authentic people I've ever met. And it's great. She's highly successful at it. And she just is who she is. And she does videos at all times of day and with just when she's inspired. And it's just great. So, what can women entrepreneurs in particular, and even small business people in general, do to be heard above the noise of today's world? Because, I mean, we're getting messages from a million different sources all the time.
Right. So I think one of the things that I think is so important that is not really talked about, but I really think it's important to identify it as a step in this process, is to turn off the noise. And this is really hard because so often when we are trying to get our messages out there, when we're trying to share about what we can do and how we can help others, trying to make sales for our companies and trying to make sure that people know about what we have to offer, it's really easy to almost immediately go into, well, what are other people doing? What other ads am I seeing? What kind of things are people putting out there so that I can start getting some ideas? And while this strategy starts off really, I think pure in the fact of like, we're kind of information gathering on what's working for other people, I think that it ultimately almost always goes down the path of comparison and, oh my gosh, I'm not doing this. And it gets really overwhelming really, really fast. So I would say the first thing to do is turn off the noise, stop looking at what everyone else is doing and get quiet with yourself and go inside to hear about what it is you truly are there to offer. And that really coincides with the question of who am I here to help? Whoever I am and whatever I'm bringing to the table, who's the person that best benefits from that? Because when we talk about getting out there and being visible and marketing and making sure people know who we are and how we're out there making sure people see us, it all starts from inside. Who am I? What am I best communicating? What's my message? What am I sharing with people? And then ultimately, who is the best person to listen to this message? Like who wants to hear this? Who am I best serving? And when you start asking yourself those internal questions, then we can get into real strategy on like, okay, what are we actually doing to like get out in front of those people and to best share my message? So then we can start talking about realistic things like sending emails and having an email marketing campaign and getting on Facebook in certain ways and using video. And I mean, all sorts of different things that we can dive into separately, but really it all starts with shutting off the noise and getting really clear on who you are, what makes you so special, what makes your offering so unique. And then who are the best people who are going to benefit from that?
I love that. That's perfect. So how do you answer that question? Because you can go inside. I mean, first of all, a lot of people don't know their strengths. I mean, you said recently a lot of people don't know where their genius is. And that's, you know, I think that's so true. It's the things that we take for granted that we just do. It's like, to be honest with you, I didn't realize for many years that I was a gifted communicator. I just figured everybody could do what I do and everybody could network the way I do. And I didn't really think it was anything special until people started saying to me, can I follow you around? I can't believe how you meet these people and I can't believe how you make these things happen. Can I just like watch you? And I thought, wow, okay, that's interesting information, right? So how do you know? And I want to take ego out of it, right? Because it's really easy, especially for women, to say, oh, well, I'm humble or, dismiss themselves. So how do you really identify what you're really good at?
Well, you just mentioned one of the ways, start to take notice about how many people are asking you for that or for help with that or asking you how you do that or commenting on it. You know, one of the things that I realized, and by the way, there's not just one thing. I mean, this, whatever you can call it genius, or it could be like a bunch of little things that you do really, really well. One of the things that I remember people commenting on so much was exactly actually how you introduced me, which is like, Katie, you're so authentic. Like, you just show up so real. And by the way, when Joan was describing that, she's basically saying that I show up in nasty workout clothes with no makeup on to my Facebook Live. So, but I noticed that people would give that back to me. They would comment on it. Like it was noticeable. And so the more and more that whether I asked people to give me feedback or even for unsolicited feedback, that was the common thing that I always heard was like, I love following Katie because she's real and she's not pretending that she's this guru. Like she's sharing with us her journey as she experiences it and making us feel like it's all attainable. We could all do it. We're all in this together. And so listen to what people are telling you and giving back to you, whether it's when you're asking for feedback or whether you're getting it unsolicited, and then start to sort of step into that and really take ownership of that. So what that means in reality is the more and more people would tell me, well, this is what makes you so unique, Katie, the more I would actually do more of that stuff. Now it's really natural for me and really normal for me to show up with no makeup in my workout clothes for a Facebook Live because that's kind of what I am. It's normal for me to, stumble over my words and not to have this perfect scripted, beautiful thing that I'm going to say. It's perfectly normal for me to have my birds on my shoulders while I'm doing a video and have one of them try to bite me.
I love those. But how did you identify what you were good at and that you had this gift for business strategy and for honing in on building communities for business owners? How did you identify that that's what you were good at?
So I have, back in 2008, mid-2008, my now husband, then Mr. Man I had not yet met, had just started a business called the Tampa Bay Business Owners. And it's a local entrepreneurs association, much like a chamber, but just for entrepreneurs. Fast forward about 9 months, I came into the business as his girlfriend and I just started helping him behind the scenes. And I had come from a corporate background. So I guess I sort of understood like how things should kind of work behind the scenes. I don't know how I knew that, but I guess my long-term answer is that, over the course of time and practice, I really saw very clearly that I was really dang good at this thing called operations and this thing called processes and this thing called taking something giant and distilling it into something super simple and easy to follow. And truthfully, it only came with time and with and much like you were saying, like this kind of aha, like, doesn't everyone do this? Like, but no, these were the things that people kept coming to me and asking me for help for. And I got that message first because I realized that my husband, then boyfriend, did not have that skill. And so he was easily like delegating all of that stuff to me. And I happily took it up because I really enjoyed doing it and I was really good at it. And so over the years, I've put more and more attention into developing that skill, and more people continue to tell me, like, you know, especially my one-on-one coaching clients, they'll generally speaking come at the beginning of a coaching session with this hurricane of ideas or thoughts or stresses or frustrations or confusion of whatever. And it's not that far into the call where all of that stuff gets distilled down into like this very distinct understanding of, okay, here's what we're really dealing with. How do we make an action plan on how to go forward with that? So I guess the answer to that is really time, and then taking notice when people comment or are asking you for help with something. And so it really has been through all those years of doing the offline and in-person community building. And as I got better and better at organizing that company, he and I were really both the leaders of that company, but we had very different skill sets. And so it took me years to really see, like, oh, I'm a community builder. Oh, I know how to bring people together. And oh, I know how to make people feel special, even though there's 500 people in the room. And oh, I could bring this into an online space called Biz Women Rock. And oh, I'm now bringing all of this talent that I learned in the offline space. I'm bringing that to an online space. And that's actually really special. So truthfully, it's been a lot of like having a lot of conversations with people, just being super in touch with those people that I serve, because those people are going to turn around and tell you, that's really special, Katie, or that's something that I need, or that's something that's unique. I've never found anyone who could help me identify it that way. And so you just have to be open to listening and receiving those things and starting to sort of draw this string between them all and saying, oh, those dots are all lining up. That means I'm a community builder, you know?
Right, right. Well, you just said a lot that it's really powerful, and I even encourage people to sort of hit rewind and play that again. But there were two things that you said that I want to latch onto for a second. And one is, you noticed that you enjoyed it, right? And there are some coaches, even Jack Canfield, who says, your joy is your compass, right? So I know for me that I'm really good at things that I enjoy doing. And the honest truth is, I'm really not good at things that I don't enjoy doing. Okay, let's just say what it is, right? And that's why the universe gave us all different skills, right? So we could have complementarity. The other thing you said that's really powerful is listening. And, you know, there really is an art to listening. And I think we're all still learning this. It's all part of the journey. But it's tuning in. Some of it is language, but then we sometimes use a different definition of the same word, you know?
Yeah.
Just as a quick, funny story, I was building an extension onto my house, and I brought a friend of mine who's a building investigator with me to a meeting with the contractor and the licensing people of the city. And they were talking, and I just actually started laughing. And they looked at me like I had just swallowed LSD. And I said, okay, you guys are using words that I have completely different definitions for.
That's funny.
So I'm just going to sit back and listen because I haven't a clue and I trust you. You know? And so we have to notice when, I mean, sometimes what I'll do is I'll say, okay, so what I'm hearing you say is X. And I used to use people's language back at them to kind of mirror, you know, neuro-linguistic programming. But I've discovered that I need to use my own words because that's where I notice if there's a disconnect.
Right.
If I'm using a different definition of the word. So how do you make sure that you're listening and really hearing what they have to say so that you can tune into what their, you know, what their gift is, what their market is, you know, what the strategy should be?
Right. That is such a good question. And before I answer that, I just want to make sure that everyone listening really gets how important this thing called listening really is, because listening will give you the answers of how you should be moving forward with anything that you're struggling with. So, you know, if you don't know what to be doing, listen to those people who are going to benefit from what you think you want to do. And if you listen to them, you're going to hear the answers in those, in what they're saying. So it is very important to master the art of listening. And, you know, for me, I feel like I've always been a people person. I've always loved, you know, having lots of friends. And I actually got a master's degree studying the art of human communication. I got a communication degree, and it was literally, we studied how people interact, whether it was an interpersonal setting, whether it was an organizational setting, whether it was a business setting, a performance setting, what have you, a group setting. So I got the benefit of being able to sort of study it from an academic viewpoint about, like, how am I in tune with what this other person's body language is saying, what they're verbally saying, what their words mean, and what all of that combined together, how that interacts with what I'm doing. So people used to ask me, like, what are you going to use a master's degree in, you know, communication for? And I would sort of flippantly, although it's proven to be really true, I would flippantly say, well, it has taught me the art of knowing how to manipulate a conversation. But the manipulation part is not a neg. I don't consider that negative. Like, I understood, and it's almost like being able to be very intuitive about a conversation and what people's real needs are and what they're really saying versus what words might be coming out of their mouth. So I would just say that this is a practice. If you have a friend, if you've ever been in a conversation, then you know how to listen. But it's just a matter of practicing listening more. And so you're constantly asking yourself the question of, like, did I really hear what they're saying, or am I just waiting for my turn to talk? And so, you know, and this is hard for people. Like, I consider myself a talker. I really enjoy talking, but I love listening. I love being a part of a conversation. And I love integrating. I love responding to what somebody else is saying in order to then build on that. So it's kind of the art of a conversation, really. So I don't know if there's any real practical tools there other than it's a lot of practice and practicing actually listening. And so you can really do this without too much risk by just doing this with your family and your friends and practicing actually listening to them. You'd probably be surprised with how much you actually hear versus how much you are surprised that you have not heard them say before, because you're actually paying attention to what they're saying and how they're saying it. And so you just put this onto your clients and potential clients and all those people that you want to share a message with, which is, like, what are they really saying? And so you're just constantly, you know, just one super simple tool is that you can just keep on asking clarifying questions. So if somebody's asking you something or telling you something, you can literally say, so did you mean this, or what exactly do you mean by that? And so you can find out and dig a little bit more. But really, the more that you're willing to listen and be an intuitive conversationalist so that you can, and I feel like this is what makes me really love strategizing with my clients, is that I've gotten really good at listening to what they're saying and simultaneously knowing that there's something else that they're trying to tell me that they don't have the language for yet. So I can dig right to that within literally a matter of minutes and say, okay, well, this is not the issue over here. This is the issue. Let's dig into that.
Right. And sometimes it's not that they haven't gotten the language yet. It's that they have to get comfortable and drop some of the ego and other kinds of stuff that's in the way. So I'm glad you brought that up, because how do you develop a strategy? How do you decide, like, when you're talking to a client and you want to give them advice on their corporate strategy, how do you tackle it? I mean, you listen to them, you hear them back, but how do you decide what strategy to direct them to? And frankly, when you do recommend a strategy, how long do you give it to know whether it's working or not? Because some strategies take forever. I mean, I've had clients come to me and say, you know, I say, what's your goal? And they go, well, I want to be on the cover of Fortune magazine in 3 months. And I'm like, okay, next. Because it just doesn't happen that way, right? Is people have unrealistic expectations. So how do you go about it?
So number one is that if we're just taking any particular instance isolated, you know, I just listen. I will let them sort of download their issue or challenge or idea or frustration or whatever the heck it is that they're dealing with on that particular day. I'll allow them to just sort of download. And then I always ask the question, like, what do you most want? Like, what do you need right now? How can I best help you? So before I get into a space of let me go into solutions mode, I'm always making sure that I know how I can best help them according to what they actually do tell me. So, you know, I might have somebody completely download a bunch of stuff on me, and I'm in my head, I might be coming up with a ton of great solutions, but that's not really what they want. What they want is, how do I delegate this well, even though they've explained a whole heck of a lot of other things to me. So that's one thing is, like, I will always ask clarifying questions that get down to what are they actually trying to achieve? What is the main solution that they want, or what will it feel like when this is all off their shoulders, or what solution do they ultimately want? So then that allows me to immediately get super clear on how I can best help them, which will get my mind starting to turn on solutions for where they are. So then, I mean, I really just go into a lot more of question asking on how they might currently be doing something versus, and in my head, I'm thinking about what the answers that they're telling me on how they currently do something versus what I know could actually be done better or be done more efficiently or be done in a different way or different things that maybe they've never thought of. And so I really believe, just because of the decade of business experience I've had at this point, and whether that be marketing, online stuff, you know, back end processes, team building, management, all that sort of stuff, you know, I kind of come to the table with all of that. So if somebody's having a challenge of, I need to be more visible. I just, you know, had a conversation with a client. I've got, you know, all these things in place. How do I now get out there? How do I now get more visible? What's my marketing strategy online? And my question was immediately, what is the next thing that you want to accomplish? Like, what's the next goal that you have? Like, let's distill it down from this big, like, I want to have, a 5 million followers on my Facebook page or in my group or whatever it is. And what is the next thing that you want to offer or sell or make sure people know about? Like, what's the next goal? And then we can get into very specific strategic steps. So I, as a strategist and somebody who, I think this is just how I live my life in general, is that I'm very action oriented and very practical. So I want to know, like, the next best steps on how I can do something. And yes, we can talk concept and very ethereally all day long, and that's great, but I want real practical steps on how I go through something or how I go towards something, right? So I guess the answer is I'm asking questions, I'm making sure I know, I'm very clear on exactly what kind of help they're looking for, and then we get really clear and get focused on, like, what is that opening? What is the big thing that's there for them that's confusing or they don't know about or it's a big missing for them or that could be, like, the thing that they need to know, and then we get deep into, like, strategizing the solution for that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I do find, though, that people don't always know what they want. They may say, well, you know, my next goal is X, or I really want to do Y, but what they really mean is something else. And it's kind of interesting.
Right, which is why you have to listen, which is why I oftentimes, all my clients know this, I'm always like, well, okay, well, I'm going to challenge you here. Like, you're saying this, except what you're doing is this. So what do you really want? And the way that I will get to that immediately is I ask this question a lot with clients who've been with me for a day and clients who've been with me for years. I'll just say, like, okay, if money were no object, what would your dream life look like? And because I'm working with business women who are building their businesses, what's your dream business look like? And that is a question that will immediately take every excuse and situation off the table. And it gets them right down to what they really, really want. And then now we can get into, like, okay, so let's go there. You know, like, let's stop going after these five other things that you feel like you should be doing because you've been told you should be doing them or you see other people doing them. And instead of taking those five detours, let's just go from point A to B and let's come up with that strategy.
Right. Okay. So it seems like every business to that point, and get a little practical, every business has so many different markets they can target. And there are so many ways to reach each market. Okay. We live in this incredibly noisy world where, you know, sometimes, you know, it's digital marketing. Sometimes your audience really is not online, frankly. You know, sometimes it's more in person. So how do you counsel your clients on which marketing angle to choose? I mean, I know you love Facebook and you're very good at Facebook and you do a lot on Facebook marketing, for example. But the answer to every marketing challenge is not Facebook.
No, it's not. And so my answer is that I absolutely do not let my bias on what works for my business impact my recommendations to my clients? Again, super important to get clear on what is so important to them and who their market is, which is why every single client that I have and every single business person should always be asking themselves and consistently stay in tune with who they best serve. Who is their avatar? That's kind of what we call it in podcasting. You know, who's your avatar? Who's the one? What is the very, very descriptive version of the one person who is the ideal client or customer for you, who loves what you have, who will raise their hand and jump into anything that you offer because they are the perfect person to get value out of what you have. So number one, it's to constantly keep in touch with that for each of the clients that I have. And so from there, I literally just go sort of like one ripple out, which is like, okay, where are they? You know, so many times they're not on Facebook. Okay, well they're on LinkedIn. Well, I'm not going to sit here and consider myself a LinkedIn expert, but I know marketing and I know business. So, okay, cool. Where are they on LinkedIn? What are they doing? And how are they interacting there? And then we build a strategy around that. Okay, well, they're really active on LinkedIn and they're in groups and I see them in these groups with me. Great. What kind of stuff can we do in there? How can we add value in there? How can you be a person of service in there and become somebody who's an influencer there? How can you connect with them there? What tools do you have to use as leverage? Do you have a podcast or, you know, a radio show, or do you have a blog? Like, is there some way that you can have an offering to give to people to give you a little bit of leverage, right? There are some people who it's like their market and a huge thing that is often overlooked in this world of quote unquote online marketing is what I call sort of like, you know, boots on the ground type of relationship building and marketing. And so there are so many times where I'm talking to my clients saying, okay, where are your people? Like, what is the fastest way to get some low hanging fruit? If that's something that you need, are there referrals that you have? Are there referral sources that you have that you can immediately call up and just remind them on what you're doing, what services you have? Do they know anyone who can utilize your help right now? Are there meetings that you should be going to that you need to start networking and being there physically and, you know, shaking people's hands and building relationships there? Are there meetings or meetups that you should be a part of because you need to be a part of that community? So a lot, I absolutely am not single-minded when it comes to building your brand. Everyone's marketing strategy or visibility strategy, if you will, is very different and unique. And it all stems from who are you and what do you love and what do you have to offer that's so unique and special? And then who is the person who gets the most value out of that? And then where are they? What are their habits and how can you best get in front of them in a way that feels really good?
That's perfect. I love that. That's exactly great. So I want to ask you a couple questions about you before I let you go. And that is, what inspired you to, you said you worked in corporate America, you have a master's degree, you could probably be in corporate America. Why be an entrepreneur? What made you decide to be an entrepreneur? I mean, it's a lot of work. Right. And you don't know if it's paying off or when, you know, we talked a little bit about time frame for results. So what made you be an entrepreneur and take on that huge challenge?
I would say that I've always been a free spirit and I've always been a little bit of a rebel in the sense that like I never wanted to have to do anything anyone ever told me, you know, like so I truthfully, I never fit in the business world because. Even taking on especially in my early years, taking on the attitude of like, I'm here to learn almost like an apprentice. There were always points where I was like, but we could do this and we could do this so much better and it would be more efficient or it would have bigger impact. Even in my knowledge that I had back then, and it was either just not respected, not listened to, not given any adherence to, or I was told to do something that I just was like, that doesn't work. And not to say that I was like the end all be all knowledgeable person back then. However, just as an overall structure, I feel like I have always been a free spirit. I've always wanted to be my own boss. I've always wanted to live my life and create the life that I've wanted. And, but I didn't know about entrepreneurship. I was not raised in an entrepreneurial family. I was raised in a very blue collar family. So I didn't even know the word entrepreneur existed until I was 22 years old. Loved it when I first heard it, but just had no idea what the heck it really was. And so it took me another 8 years working jobs and being in corporate to actually get exposed to this idea of like, oh, wait a minute, I could actually use this thing called business as a vehicle to live a life that's impactful and meaningful and fulfilling for me. And I get to create it. I get to be the one to create it. And yes, it is. It's definitely an entirely different paradigm of work and how you're doing things and what you're doing all the time. It's definitely a different paradigm, but I sort of feel like there's no other way. Like I can't imagine myself ever being in a job again, with somebody to have to answer to somebody and do something that feels in the box for me. If I didn't have the complete freedom to be able to shift my life and be flexible with my life and do things that were purposeful and meaningful for me, I don't know how I would live. So for me, it was just the right answer to this thing called, I want to own my life and I want to live a life that is big and meaningful and like makes waves. And, you know, and this was the vehicle that I found that I really clung to, that I was like, okay, this is the way that I could do that.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a book that Mary Catherine Bateson wrote. She's the daughter of Margaret Mead and Gregory Bateson, which is, you can imagine having them as your parents. she wrote a book. I thought mine were amazing. But anyway, she wrote a book called Composing a Life. And that's really what you've done. You know, I mean, that's what we all do, right? That's why I said in the beginning, we're really all CEOs of our own lives. So whether we have our own business or not, we are creating the story of our lives. And we're saying, well, how do I want to spend my time? What's valuable to me? And who do I want to be in work? And who do I want to be in my business? And who do I want to play with? You know, when people come to me saying, well, I need to do a transition and I'm not really sure. You know, my questions are, who do you want to be at work? How do you want to feel? What kinds of things that you do during the day do you want to keep doing? And what kind of people do you want to be around? And do you want to be around them like all the time so you can run next door and say, hey, can I run something by you and ergo in an office? Or do you want to be just digital and, you know, and then figuring out how to get FaceTime with people so you don't get isolated? So what do you want your day to look like and feel like, and who do you want in it, right? So that sounds like what you did.
Yeah, and truthfully, it's a daily evolution. I'm not going to pretend that I was this smart about it or understood all of this stuff 10 years ago. I absolutely didn't. It's just been, you know, you put one foot in front of the other and you figure something new out, and you put another foot in front of the other and you figure something new out, and it just starts to make sense. You know, but I feel like for me, I have such a low tolerance of unhappiness. So the reason why I quit my job ultimately is because I could not, I promised myself, I would ask myself this question every single day for 30 days. If I were to die next month, is this how I would want to spend the last month of my life? If I answered hell no to that question every single day for 30 days, I would quit my job. And I had no job lined up on the other side. I had some savings and I kind of had this like thing that I was going to try to do, but I absolutely did not have anything like quote unquote stable. But for me, that was the only way to live. And I really believe that those of us who want to live a life of purpose, it can absolutely happen with inside of a job. But as long as you feel fulfilled, I never felt like a job fulfilled me. I felt like I was kind of a zombie moving through it, and I was getting things and I was learning things, but I just felt like there's no way I was very cognizant at a young age that we only have a certain amount of days and hours and years here. And so if that's the case, why in the world would I waste any of those doing something that I just didn't really love doing? Like, why not get on to the business of trying something else that might work? And I'm not going to lie, it has not been pretty. There have been plenty of down days, plenty of racked up credit cards and empty bank accounts. And oh my gosh, what am I going to do for, you know, paying the mortgage next month? I mean, there have been plenty of those times, but ultimately I've never, ever switched back because I feel like there's no other way to live a life other than just going for it. I mean, what the heck? What do we have to lose? You figure it out. And the way that I always figured was, what's the worst case scenario? Okay, worst case scenario is I'm not bringing in money, so I can't pay my mortgage, which means they probably wouldn't kick me out for another 3 months. Worst case scenario, I'd have to go like live with friends, or I'd have to go back and move in with my parents in Arizona. And I was like, you know what? Worst case scenario actually isn't so bad. It's not like I'm not going to have food coming into my mouth. It's not like I'm going to like not have clothes on my back. Like, worst case scenario, truthfully, for most people, isn't that bad. And so I just kept thinking, like, dude, I could fall and it's worth the risk, because even if I fall really bad, it's not the end of the world.
Well, I love that. And you sent out a post recently that said, if you fall down 28 times, you get up 29. And I love that. That was great. So thank you so much for joining us today on Green Connections Radio, Miss Katie Kremitzos.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Oh, it's been fabulous. Founder and CEO of Biz Women Rock, which I highly recommend, bizwomenrock.com. We will link to her website from our website, greenconnectionsradio.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter and our private Facebook group and our Facebook page and find us online everywhere. So what did you hear Miss Katie say? What tips that she gave really resonate with you? Tweet it to us at Joan Michelson or post it again on our Facebook page and like the page while you're there. Or email it to us at info@greenconnectionsradio.com. You can also leave it on iTunes with your review. I'm Joan Michelson. Thank you for joining us. See you next time.
Hi, my name is David Goldberg, president of Edge Studio, a voiceover company. We oversee professional narrators and voice actors for sales videos, training videos, telephone pre-recorded systems, commercials, web videos, and all applications requiring voiceover. And in fact, for over 20 years and in over 100 languages, we have been considered the most trusted and the friendliest leader in the voiceover industry. We're a green company with efforts towards sustainability at all of our studio locations. EdgeStudio.com. Sound people who are happy to help.